Good morning. It is Wednesday, February 22nd, 2012. We're on the record at 9:30, and the matter I've set is regarding John Van Enig IV. The case number is 2120003. This is a code hearing. Mr. McKee is present on behalf of the city on this matter, as well as we have a representative from Wells Fargo. I will start with Mr. McKee. Could I have you identify yourself for the record, please?
Mitchell R. McKee. I'm a senior housing inspector with Development Services City of Portland at 1900 Southwest 4th Avenue.
And Mr. McKee, before we get into testimony or facts about the case, can you tell me what steps, if any, you've taken to notify the owner of the property about today's hearing?
Notified the property by mail, not just our notices, but additionally the hearings notice. Additionally, posted the property with a notice of the hearing, and mailed both copies to the occupant of the property and to the owner of the property at the property address, which is the only good address I have for him.
Okay. So throughout your investigation of the property, you've mailed notices of violations to the property address, is
that's
that correct?
That's correct.
Additionally, when the case was set for a hearing, you posted the property by placing a notice of the hearing at the property front door?
Yes,
is that
I did.
Correct? And additionally, you mailed to that address with the name of the property owner as well as occupant, I assume.
Yes, yes. Okay. Did I not do a return of service on this property?
I will have to check the file.
I
don't recall seeing one, though there's a lot of pages in the file and it's possible that I overlooked it.
Well, it may not have been a return of service then.
Okay. You mean on the mailing
on portion. The hearings notice posting at the property is typically when I would do it.
Okay. I don't recall seeing anything specific about posting of the property. Let me also ask the hearing or the clerk whether we've had any contact or what attempts we've made to notify the property owner. And Mr. McKee, I believe you said at the beginning you've actually had no contact with the property owner. He's not responded to any of your attempts to contact him.
That is correct. Okay. No contact.
Okay. Well, I will find that proper notice was attempted in this case, posting the property as well as mailing to the property. And if that is the only address that we have for Mr. Enig, then I believe notice was sufficient. He should have been aware of today's hearing and could have been present if he had chosen to do so. So we will proceed with the hearing in his absence. Before you testify now, Mr. McKee, can I have you raise your right hand? And I guess I should ask, do you wish to testify first, or do you wish to have the representative from Wells Fargo testify?
I'll go ahead first.
Okay. Do you swear the testimony you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. What did you want to tell me then, sir, about the property?
This property came to our attention through the Portland Police Bureau, who have had multiple calls at the property for, among other things, indecent exposure and too many people on the property and possible transients and drug use. So we opened the case, went out there, looked at the property, wrote up a violation letter, sent it to the owner. Beyond that, we received some photograph documents from the police bureau about their visit on the inside of the property and restatements of what they found there. So based on that, we added to our violation list and included all the violations that we found from their photographs inside the property. I'll just go ahead and go through my exhibit packet briefly, and then I'll describe the violations specifically.
Can you tell me real quickly, when was the notice from Portland Police Bureau that started this case? Or if we'll get to it in the packet, you can tell me at that point.
We will, but I might be able to find that pretty quick. That That was roughly November 1st when it was assigned to the original inspector.
Okay, of 2011.
Of 2011,
okay.
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. The first exhibit labeled 16 is the notice from the hearings office about this hearing. Exhibit 1 is my complaint, including my requested remedies and the violation list. Exhibit 3 is simply a photo of the front of the house. Exhibit 4 is three pages document showing the property tax and property tax information from Multnomah County, the information that they have on file. Exhibit 5 is four pages of photographs taken by the original inspector who went to the site November 3 of 2011. Exhibit 6 is 19 pages of photographs supplied from the Portland Police Bureau that shows photographs of the outside of the house and the inside of the house. Exhibit 7 is a printout copy of the City of Portland Development Services cases on this property showing since 1994. All of these showing there are enforcement actions on the property. Exhibit 8 is a copy of Development Services records for documents generated on this property. Exhibit 9 is two pages of notes kept by our section on this active case. Exhibit 10 is our original violation letter, mailed November 7, 2011. And that is four pages. Exhibit 11 is a referral to the hearings office, mailed January 4, 2012. That includes three pages, including the violation list. Exhibit 12 is a printout of the city lien docket that was printed out on January 18, showing the liens on this property. Incidentally, those add up to
$18,201.11. $18,201.11, you said?
Correct. Uh-huh. Exhibit 13 is the police report generated November 30 that our office received, and that is three pages. Exhibit 14 is a number of pages of photos taken by the police and forwarded along with that report of the exterior of the property. Exhibit 17 is the mailing list. I supplied a list of notification to be sent out for this hearing. Addition to those, I have a couple of more exhibits that I'd like to offer to.
Okay. So there were 17 exhibits. You've added two more, so we're up to exhibits 18 and 19.
Okay.
Thank you. So exhibit 18 is a letter from Wells Fargo.
Mailed January 10 to the owner of the property.
Okay.
That states that they're giving him 30 days to remedy the code violations on the property. Doesn't really offer a an ultimatum as to what they're going to do beyond that.
Okay.
Exhibit.
19?
19 is some photographs I took at the property yesterday when I visited the site. I would offer all 19 exhibits into evidence.
Okay, I will find that all 19 exhibits are relevant to the matter and enter all 19 into the record. With regard to exhibit 19 specifically, any change in the property from when you initially noted the violations?
There is. I thought I might mention those changes as I went through my violation list.
Okay.
Okay, this is the tedious part. I'll go through and demonstrate all the violations here. Okay, in attachment A of the complaint, item number one talks about the yard being used for camping. That is no longer true. I'm taking that off the list.
Okay.
The squatters are gone from the outside. Number two, gutters and downspouts clogged with vegetation. And typically, as I go through these, I'm going to refer to the photo exhibits. There's two sections. There's four pages, and then there's 19 pages.
Four pages is exhibit five, and then the 19 is exhibit six?
That's correct, thank you. So, number two, gutters and downspouts are clogged. You'll find that on page 104. And that's, it's kind of hard to see with these photographs, but it's actually the third photograph, middle left.
Okay.
Number three, gutters and downspouts damaged. That's 104, upper right, pretty clear there. Item four, exterior trash. That's visible on page one and three of four. And you can see the photographs there, lower page one. And you can also see it on page three of four. Number five, the roof covering was damaged. That's page one of four. And again, it's a little hard to see, but the upper left and the middle left, also on the back porch of the, at the lower left photo. Number six, deck and stairs deteriorated, page one of four. And you can see that's on the middle right of that photo. And you can see it on the lower right. Number seven, trash on the interior. That's visible through most of the photographs of the 19 pages, exhibits six. The interior shots that the police took show almost every photograph has trash and junk littered throughout the house. Number nine is a little more difficult. I couldn't really find a good photograph to demonstrate that violation. So I think without that, you only have the police photos that don't clearly demonstrate it. I'm going to take that off the list.
Did we skip number eight?
Number eight? Oh, water service. That was Freudian. It was, they actually have water service.
Oh.
There, I checked yesterday, and the water service is currently active. I'll expand on that just a little bit after I'm finished with the other exhibits.
Okay.
Number 10, broken windows. That's exhibit five on page four of four. That's visible on the center right. And also, my new exhibit 19, I took a photograph on the lower left, shows two of the broken windows there in the front of the house. A little hard to see again from the photographs. Number 11, wall and ceiling damage. This is on a number of pages on this, on exhibit six, the 19. You can see on page three, for example, this is interior ceiling that's basically open and broken. no plaster there at all. But it's visible also on a number of pages in other locations as well. Page 5, lower left. Page 11, this is some shots of the basement area that where the walls are just totally damaged and the mold is over the top. It's just incredibly bad. Number 12, interior door damage. Exhibit 6, page 3, lower right, you can see there's no hardware in that door. Page 9 of 19, upper left. This also applies to number 13. The door damage is the doors, the frames, the hardware, the strike plates, all of these are issues on the doors. And they apply to 12 and 13. Basically, the same photographs apply. I should also state that when I'm looking at this building, my exhibit packet, I'm looking at color pictures enlarged on my computer screen, right, and they don't reflect quite as easily as they do here. Sorry. Number 14, this is the stair rail spindles, exhibit 6, page 5 of 19. You can see where those are damaged and missing. Middle left, lower right. The fireplace screen, you can see it's damaged there on page 6 of 19, upper right. Number 16, the attic access cover, page 7 of 19, upper right. Number 17, basement steps handrail, page 9 of 19, but I do see a handrail there. I just can't remember what specifically is the issue with that. Oh, I see. If you look on the lower left, that handrail only goes down part way. It needs to extend down the length of the stairs, and that does not happen at all there.
You're on page 9 of 19?
That's correct.
Is that right?
That's correct. Middle left picture.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the handrail there goes down and attaches, so you're only using it at the top edge of the stairs. Once you get down past that floor level, there's no handrail extending down the balance of the stairs there.
Okay.
Number 18, basement bath fixtures, page 10, 11. Those are pretty clearly destroyed. Number 19, open sewer pipe, that's on 10 and 11, there's fixtures, specifically on 11, if you look to this middle right, you'll see that the lav sink is unhooked and the pipe below it is uncapped. That means the sewer gas is getting into the house there. Number 20, mold. That's pretty clearly visible in page 11 of 19. Number 21, the furnace cover, page 12 of 19, missing from the furnace. Number 22, basement walls are damaged. That's on page 13 of 19, and that's pretty evident in all those photographs. Number 23, extension cords, excessive use. Let's look on page 8 of 19. You can see cords running there on the ground. are on the floor.
I'm sorry, I missed the page number you're on there.
That's page 8 of 19 in the upper right. Page 15, the lower right. Page 17, the four upper pictures. And page 19 on the upper left. Number 24, splices in the wiring. Page 9, this is the lower two pictures, and the middle right shows, it's just jury-rigged wiring that's been tampered with and altered, especially on the fuse box, is what I'm trying to present there. Unapproved electrical wiring. Page 2 of 19. Looks like someone tried to do some remodeling in the kitchen ceiling, and they put a whole bunch of new wiring in those lower two pictures there. None of that has been permitted or looked at or approved. That's also clear in the page 3. On the upper left and the upper right, that's wiring. Below that is plumbing that's been altered and changed that I'm not addressing here. Page 9. And that lower right photos, that shows some additional wiring being run into that overstuffed junction box there. 26 cover plates missing on the junction boxes. Again, that's page 9, lower two photos, and the right photo, right center right photo. Oh, I'm sorry, that's just the lower two. And then 27 is the fuse box cover that's missing on the center right of page 9. Okay, additionally, there are, according to the police report on exhibit, exhibit 13, part of the statement of the police, when they went there, they found occupants in the house, and the police spoke with them, and they asked him why they were urinating in the backyard, and he stated to them that the bathrooms in the house are not working. So even though they have water, I believe the plumbing is damaged sufficiently that it's just not working in the house.
Okay, so you believe the water has actually always been connected or working, it's just simply that the facilities are not working.
That's correct.
Okay, so it's not as though some step has been taken to remedy any situation by connecting water service.
No. When the police were unable to gain entry to the property from this visit of November 3011, they went downtown and they got the owner out of jail, released to the police. And the police took him out to the property where they asked him to go in and remove the tenants or tell them that they didn't belong there, were not invited, they were not allowed to be there. So he did. He went in, told them that. And the police pulled out 47 people from this property.
And this was when?
This was the 16th when they visited the site.
So this must be December 16th.
December 16th, yeah.
Okay.
Which is a clerical error kind of that I need to correct. The photographs on Exhibit 6, mm-hmm. it indicates the top legend that they were taken by me, which they were not. They were taken by the police and supplied to me.
Okay.
So at that point, people were removed from the site. Since then, the police have indicated to me that they've been back a couple of times and they found people at the site. So I believe that it's still occupied on and off, if not permanently. Okay, the owners made no contact with the city. I understand the district attorney's been working on the owner. They have a case pending against the owner. I'm not sure what the charges are, but she asked me for a copy, and I sent her a copy of the complaint that I had filed with the hearings office as well. So I can't confirm it, but I suspect that she's supplied a copy to him, or at least made him aware that there's a hearing today. The trash is a big issue. It's outside the house. If you can look at my Exhibit 19, you'll see that the photos I took yesterday show no significant change to the trash on the front porch that I found, nor to the trash that in the upper left you can see just visibly that I wasn't able to enter the property because of the curtilage there, but I could get some photos of a big pile of trash in the backyard.
So the only thing that you believe has changed since November is that there are no longer people camping in the backyard.
That's correct. Thank you.
Okay.
Since the owner took possession of this property in approximately 2001, there's been 2 compliance services cases, 2 disabled vehicle cases, 4 nuisance cases, 3 housing cases, and 1 for noise control. All enforcement cases taken on this property since his ownership. As for my remedies, I think I'll go through those now, unless Amber wants to offer something.
Whichever order you would like to do it in is fine with me. I'll let you know that I was typing away over here, just simply checking the Multnomah County Jail to see if it's possible Mr. Enig is there, and he does not come up as a person currently in custody.
Okay, thank you.
I would simply make our notice issue much, much, much clearer if we can locate him there.
Okay.
Right. So whether you want to do the remedies now or have representative from Wells Fargo testify.
I'd offer Amber an opportunity if she wants to speak now.
Either way is fine
okay.
for me.
Well, before you make any statements, can I identify yourself for the record? First name and last name, and then a mailing address for your business.
Amber Norling. That's Norling. I work for Ralph Crabtree Olson. We represent Wells Fargo. Can I give you Ralph Crabtree's address?
Of course.
Okay, we're at 621 Southwest Alder Street, and that's Portland, 97205.
Okay, and before you testify, can you raise your right hand? Is there any testimony you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Can you start by telling me what your involvement is with this property?
We have a judicial foreclosure pending on this property. I didn't bring as many exhibits as I wasn't sure what was exactly necessary today. It was filed, I believe, in July or August of last year. The deed of trust was granted to a particular lender on behalf of MERS, and it has been assigned to Wells Fargo. I have a copy of the original deed of trust with me because it includes, I'm trying to figure out the best way to go about this. Well, okay, should I give you a copy?
Let me clarify, whatever you give me, I have to keep.
Yes.
So don't give me anything.
I have a sticker, I just didn't know the numbering for.
That's fine.
Here.
Yeah, whatever you want to submit, we'll actually label it with our sticker here.
Oh, okay.
Because everything will just go right in order.
Okay, so at this point, they are in breach for failure to pay. They haven't paid since, I believe it was March of 2009. The property, it is in foreclosure. We have been attempting to serve them. So I probably don't need it. Just for your knowledge, we attempted to serve at the property on the 12th of February and also found it occupied, but was unable to get anyone to answer the door.
Okay.
I don't know if this...
I'm certain that anything you have will be helpful.
It's a copy. So this is just from our file, just... After receiving notification of the nuisance violation, I forwarded all the information I had onto Wells Fargo. Obviously, they generated the letter that is this 18, Exhibit 18?
Yes.
And they asked me to appear today. I have a copy of the deed of trust here. Obligation to maintain the property, and under paragraph 9, Wells Fargo can step in and do repairs and cure nuisance violations, etc., if the borrower is not. According to our internal emails with Wells Fargo, as of the last inspection that they ran was on the 7th of February, and they found it of this year, of 2012, and they found it occupied and were unable to go in to cure any of the violations. This matches what we had from our service attempt on the judicial foreclosure. So I do want to hear what the proposed fix is. Wells Fargo sent me here today to ask if we can arrange something so they can access the property if there is, I forget the exact term, the lockout, the vacate order in place, if we can allow contractors to come in and view what's going on and get some bids. We have investors that we need to run the numbers by and get all the approvals and getting everything in place. And I was hoping to head off the vacate order here and hopefully work something out instead of having to go through the process of getting indemnity and some of this stuff, which is a possibility as well if that's the way the city wants to proceed.
Okay, let me take one step at a time. So Exhibit 20 I have is the notice that you attempted to serve on, it looks like, the 12th day of February at the property, indicating that there is a foreclosure order. Is that correct?
Yeah. We're trying to serve them a copy of the complaint, and it just indicates that no one was answering the door and we were unable to serve, but it looks as though the property is still occupied.
Okay. And the complaint being the complaint in the code case or a separate complaint?
In the judicial foreclosure.
Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure I understood. So that's Exhibit 20. Exhibit 21 then is the deed of trust. And it's, looks like it's page 7 of 16 maybe, where you've noted the bottom paragraph, paragraph 9, indicates that the property owner must maintain the property and that Wells Fargo can step in and maintain the property in the absence of the property owner doing that. So that's Exhibit 21. Unless there's any objection from Mr. McKee, I'll enter both of those into our record.
No
as
objection.
Well. Okay.
I have a question, though.
Yes.
And if I understand correctly, just to help me understand the paper trail a little bit, CMG is the original lender on the property?
I believe so. I apologize. I didn't think to print a copy. The deed of trust was assigned, and it's recorded in the real property records, transferring the beneficial interest in the deed of trust to Wells Fargo. I apologize for not bringing it with me. I wasn't quite sure what I'd be allowed to present today.
What?
And the effect of that is to transfer the servicing responsibility and the actual ability to receive money. The note in the deed of trust gets transferred, so both have been transferred.
Okay.
And it was being held by MERS. Are you familiar? Yeah. So it's been assigned out of MERS to Wells Fargo.
That's that shell thing.
It's not a shell. It's a tracking company.
I see.
A legitimate company.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anything else you want to add at this point?
Just that Wells Fargo has the same interest of the city in getting this, getting the nuisance violations cured, obviously, and avoiding additional disturbance to the neighborhood and costs to everyone involved on this, so if we can work out a way of doing this and a way to get contractors in to bid, that would be our goal.
Okay, and as far as the foreclosure process, is it kind of waiting until you can get service?
We have to serve. I wish, I don't have it in front of me, I apologize. How many people need to be served? But once it's served, they have 30 days to respond. If they don't respond, we default, go to judgment, go through writ, precipi, go to sale eventually. This will need to be dealt with.
And how long is that process that you're describing? Assuming you could, assuming you could, right, assuming you could get service of Mr. Enig in the next 30 days.
It depends. I'm not positive on this case if someone else needs to be served, or because if anyone else answers, it delays the entire process. I would say a couple months probably, just because by the time, if we can't get a hold of them and they dodge service, we're going to have to do alternative service, which is publishing and posting, et cetera. And by the time we get the order, get it to the court, get the order, get it back, get it, published, et cetera. And just, I would say at least 2 months.
Okay, so best case scenario would be if you were able to serve, it would be at least 60 days after service.
I would guess, yes. I mean, and then sale, the actual sale probably would take a little longer too. We're just on the timeline that gets stretched a little with the judicial foreclosures.
But after the point of that 60 days, Wells Fargo would have access to the property.
Well,
you take deed at the point?
I'm trying to figure out what your process is so that I can try to figure out how the two processes would work together and if they can work together.
Well, and the thing is, once it goes to sale, it's unclear if Wells Fargo will have the property become theirs or if someone else will. It's obviously not very attractive at sale if it has a large amount of nuisance violations like it currently is. I mean, that obviously would want to be resolved. Wells Fargo, as soon as people aren't in the house, can enter to start fixing them.
Okay.
There's no need to wait for any sort of sale.
Okay.
It's just Wells Fargo is unwilling to enter if people are living in the house.
Okay.
So if there was a vacate order and we were able to have an exception or some sort of arrangement to facilitate contractors to come in and see it or something like that, we could get the violations cured as soon as we could get the process and everything looked at and approved through Wells Fargo.
Okay, so that was my question, was basically as soon as you can have the property vacated and or as soon as Wells Fargo is able to get through the process of foreclosure, Wells Fargo could enter at that point, fix up the property prior to a sale occurring, if they chose to do so.
The sale,
so you
kind
take
of. Once the sale happens,
well, once the
if
sale
people
happens,
are living there, you still have to go through the eviction process before a property can be actually cleared of people, which depending on how the people are there can take some time as well.
Okay.
Does that answer your question? I'm sorry.
We
have the right to enter now. We just, Wells Fargo is choosing not to enter with people in the house.
Right. Okay.
But after the sale, whoever owns it then gets whatever rights go to the owner.
So you basically what you do is you have to do your service, and then after the service occurs, you can go ahead with the judicial foreclosure, and that roughly takes about 2 months or so.
Two or three months.
Yeah.
It depends on the timing. Yeah.
Okay, and then after that, the foreclosure occurs, which means deed's not transferred yet. Is that right?
Well, essentially what happens, we file the complaint, we go into service, there's a timeline on service. If we can serve, they have 30 days, and sometimes we can serve personally, sometimes we have to actually go through where we have to publish on them or do it alternatively if we can't find the people. As far as we can tell, they're in the property. They're just dodging service. So after another set of attempts, we would probably then ask for a court order for posting, for mailing, and for publishing. Publishing takes 30 days from the first date of publishing. Then, assuming no one answers, we default people. We go to judgment. We do our written precipi. We get instructions to the sheriff. The sheriff sets the sale. sale occurs, and then there's actually a redemption period before it's all kind of cleared, depending on, borrowers usually have 180 days. It gets a little, but if at any point the property clears out, property preservation steps in. And so Wells Fargo's property preservation is what happens when people have moved out in anticipation of the foreclosure or for some other reason they believe the property is vacant. Sometimes, amusingly, it is not. But if they have an honest belief that the property has been left vacant, they'll go in to try to make sure that nothing, you know, winterize the properties and make sure everything's going on. So the timeline on the actual judicial foreclosures kind of just depends. And I hate giving that answer, but.
Okay.
Basically, what I'm seeing is anywhere from 2 or 3 months to almost a year, maybe.
That's, yeah, they can take up to a year. Courts don't like it when they do, but honestly, sometimes,
yeah,
depending on what's involved, it can take a while.
Okay.
All right, let's hear from Mr. McKee about what remedies you're seeking, sir.
Okay. All right, first of all, correction of the violations. I am going to ask for certain civil penalties. I'm going to ask for recovery of our inspection costs at a minimum. I've indicated two, but I'm going to add one for an additional inspection that I did out there since this complaint was done. So that's a total of 3 housing, 2 nuisance, at $145 per inspection. And I didn't bring my calculator, so I'm going to have to do this longhand.
3 housing inspections, 2 nuisance inspections, they're each 145?
Correct.
Okay.
So that's 725.
Okay.
Cost of this hearing, $12.15. And I am going to ask for that additional $2,000 civil penalties. I put that in there as incentive for the owner to make an appearance and try to work this out. And typically I'll drop it if the owner does come by. Since Wells Fargo is here, I'll compromise on that and go to 1,000. That'll be my request.
Okay.
So it'll be,
$29.40.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mathematicians. Okay. The next item, restoration of water service, has already been done, so I can't really speak to that. But in its place, we have no active plumbing facilities, according to the testimony of the occupants and the police report. So I'm going to retain that vacation request based on the lack of health facilities in the property.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask for that for, I'm going to retain that at 15 days. In the event the property is still occupied, we still have people using the backyard as a bathroom, that's just totally inappropriate. Correction of the most egregious fire life safety violations within 30 days. Let me just review real quick here. Number 4, number 7, number 19, number 23, number 24, 25, and 27. I would still ask that those be remedies within 30 days because they create the greatest hazard for fire damage at the property. When I was there yesterday, I found that there was noise in the house, like a television going on. I believe the power is still hooked up to the house, so the electricity is still flowing through there. I don't know how many people are in the house, and I don't know what their habits are.
Just real briefly, do you have access to, or do you know who is paying for water and electricity to the home? Wouldn't they typically be turned off if someone was not paying?
Not always. I didn't check the electric company is not very forthcoming with information. They can typically tell us, is the power on or off, but they don't really bring forth who's paying it and their arrears are. The Water Bureau is a little different. They are $600 behind in water bills, and they're not set for a shutoff at this point because this is a multifamily. It's a duplex. So they typically don't really do a shutoff on those for quite a lot longer than they would for a single family.
Okay.
They didn't really tell me how long, but it's got to get a lot bigger.
Okay.
Also, weekly trash service. In the event within 15 days, in the event that they fail to do that, vacation of the property. Correction of all remaining violations within 60 days. Again, if they fail to meet that deadline, vacation of the property. And then I've set out some standards for kind of typical language you use for what vacation of the property means, boarding it up, securing it, unauthorized entry. Then recurrence of violations. If during the hearings officer's jurisdiction these violations reoccur, vacation of the property is authorized. Accumulation of trash, again, interruption of water or electric service, or interruption of trash service. I'm asking for cost recovery. In the event the property is vacated, certain fees will accrue to the property. Board up costs, contractor costs, additional inspections. So we would ask for cost recovery on all those. I asked for relocation cost recovery. I don't believe it's going to be necessary, but in the event that it does, in the event that our nonprofit agency who does our relocations for us finds that there are legitimate people who do require assistance, then we would like to recover the cost for that.
And by legitimate, you mean tenants of the home as opposed to individuals who are there and are not authorized to be there by the owner?
That's correct. Yes, that's correct. And then we're asking for the hearings officer to retain jurisdiction in this case for a period of 6 months.
So 180 days.
180 days, correct. Thank
okay.
you. Did I say 120?
You said 120 in the request, but
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
180.
Okay.
I'm asking all this based on the fact that the owner is either unwilling or unable to remedy these violations, and we just can't count on him taking action on what we're requesting. I think that's it.
Okay. I would like to take just a moment to speak with the other hearings officer. I haven't been involved in the situation before where we have the bank present wanting to repair the property, but unable to gain access. And I just want to take a moment to talk to him about if he has any suggestions as to how best to work the two processes together. So if I can go off the record for just a minute, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, he's been working with another attorney in our office regarding a different nuisance violation case, and
mm-hmm.
I think what they ended up doing was coming to an agreement where Wells Fargo indemnified the city and the city allowed them in.
In that case, it's a little different. The city really has no jurisdiction on a property in the event that it's not vacated.
Mm-hmm.
We have no say on who goes over there and does what.
Of course.
But if we vacate the property, the only people allowed that the city will allow in there is the owner to go in and make repairs on the property, which is perfectly appropriate. Wells Fargo demonstrated to me while working with Sean that this trust deed showed that they had the right to go in and preserve the property, but just based on that, the city was uncomfortable with the liability issue that would be involved in the. We want the bank to hold us harmless from any action by the owner for having some other person come in and making repairs on their house.
Mm-hmm.
They should also be aware that as long as the owner holds the deed to the house, they're in a position of reoccupying the house in the event that all the violations are cured. they might as well go back there and live now. So it's just something to keep in mind.
Right. They'd have a nicely repaired home by courtesy of Wells Fargo, and the city is no longer interested in vacating at that point. So I do want to go off the record for just a moment, and I'll be back quickly.
It's fun. Interesting stuff.
All right, we're back on the record. That was enlightening to go and just have a moment to speak with the other hearings officer. His indication was that as part of a vacate order, if that's the order, the hearings office can authorize Wells Fargo or any specific individual to enter the home during the vacation period as long as you're otherwise legally authorized to enter the home. So that would be based on the section of the deed where it says that Wells Fargo or the holder of the deed of trust can enter the home to make repairs. So I can make that part of my order, indicating that Wells Fargo has the ability to enter the home. You'll have to work out on your own what happens if the repairs take place and the code case, et cetera, and all how all those things work together. But as long as you are legally authorized to enter the home, I can permit you to enter the home during the vacation period.
So the city wouldn't have to worry, or development services wouldn't have to worry about indemnification in this case, not if it was in the hearings officer's order.
I didn't ask the question specifically of the other hearings officer, but that was certainly his belief that it was permissible.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
So I'm not going to make the order today. Obviously, I will get it all written up. It will go into effect 14 days after it's issued. I expect that this should be a fairly quick order to write, given that Mr. Enig was not even present to offer any testimony or any counter information. So I would hope to have it out to you by next week so that you can start that time period of the 2 weeks.
Excellent. Okay.
All right. Any other questions I can answer at this point?
I don't think, I guess my only question is that Wells Fargo or the vendors working for Wells Fargo, correct?
Typically Wells Fargo hires a company to go out and do the contracting work.
Figure out the most appropriate language to put in there. But yes, it would certainly be Wells Fargo or contractors hired by Wells
Perfect.
Fargo. Okay. And as far as an order, will an order be mailed to, obviously to Mr. McKee, but also to Ms. Norling? Okay. So you'll get a copy of the order as well.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.